Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. It's a great honor once again for me to be here, especially on my birthday. Well, only God can do that. Amazing. I didn't even remember until my wife told me happy birthday this morning. It was just like any regular day. Amen. But you've all made it so special. Thank you so much. I want to say thank you to Pastor Mommy for the honor and the trust and the privilege to be able to share the word of God with you today. And I'm trusting God for mercy to be faithful so that what he wants to say, he'll be able to say it, you know, and you'll be able to receive it. And the body will increase by virtue of our being in his presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Mommy. Thank you, sir. All right. So the word God dropped in my heart today, if you notice, there's been a theme. And the theme is, if you give yourself to God, God will take care of you. God is not an irresponsible father, you know. The title of my message today is Awake for His Glory. Awake for His Glory. Isaiah 52, verses 1 to 3, King James, very quickly. Awake. Let's say it together. Awake. Awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Next verse. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself. One more time, loose thyself. God is not going to loose you. You are going to loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Amen. Next verse. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for naught and shall be redeemed without money. There is something greater than money. It is the wisdom of God. The Bible says, in whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's our inheritance. So, the glory of God is something that you get. We are appointed to when we get born again. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Very quickly. You need to be really fast today. Thank you. 2 Thessalonians 2, 14. Okay. Behind me. All right. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we believe on Jesus Christ, we have a calling. We have been called unto the glory. The glory is already inside in your spirit. But God doesn't want it to remain inside. The world needs it outside. God also wants it to come outside. But initially, it is inside. Okay? And that is the blessing that you're carrying around. Remember, the we're seed of Abraham in Genesis 22, 17 to 18. I won't really turn there. But you know that when Abraham had given up Isaac, no, God came and said, now I know. And then God now cut the covenant and now pronounced the blessing and two blessings. He said, your seed will possess the gates of their enemies, and in thy seed all the nations shall be blessed. Okay? Now, so the seed of Abraham, the Apostle Paul tells us, is not seeds as in natural, but seed as in Christ. So he's talking about Christ and all that believe on God through Christ, that they will possess the gates of their enemies. The gates meaning the place of authority and entry. A gate is a place where that gives you access somewhere. All right? And that is the place of authority in a city. Zion is a city. So he's talking about the fact that if you possess the gates, you possess the senses. You possess your eye gate, your ear gate, your nose gate. No, every gate that gives you access to the world, you take it over and dominate it with godly power. so that God is now the one ruling at the gates. So when things happen, you don't judge based on what your eyes can see. You based on what God is saying through what your eyes can see. And that is possessed. So it's the perfecting the love of God. Letting the love of God dominate your will, your mind, your emotions, your feelings, your appetites. That is taking the gates. And when you take the gates, it is from there. Now, taking the gate is a gradual process. You do it gradually. Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1. All right. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. This is the only reasonable thing to do because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your ambition and your destiny is to be holy. That is what God made us to be. But we know that when we are born again, the spirit is born again in an instant, but the soul and the flesh remain essentially unchanged. But what is now our responsibility by the scripture to present both soul and body as a living sacrifice so that it will now reflect the holiness on the inside. Amen. Next verse, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Don't let the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life dictate what is going on in your soul and in your body. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, so this is a progress, is a progressive thing that God is doing. Okay, but the more you do, the more of the glory you are actually carrying. But that the difference is internal. Remember Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Bible says that on that mount, he took off, he didn't take it off, but he shone the light on the inside through the body on the outside. For an instant, they saw how he really, really was. That's the real you and I. That's how we really, really are. Amen. And of course, when the rapture happens and we're going up, then you really see who you really are. Even before then, by the grace of God, as you see, as you go on in the message. So God is saying that this process, this year of the prosperity of our souls, our wills, we are supposed to allow more of the nature and the love of God to dominate and then occupy our will, mind, emotions, and ultimately our physical body. That's where God is going, okay? All right? And the Bible tells us in 1 John 3 that does not yet appear who we are. In 1 John 3, no, let's look at that very quickly. It doesn't appear yet who we are, but we know that something else is going to trigger the real you appearing. Amen. All right, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. To understand this, you need to go to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to come back here. Behold, telling you something you're not seeing. I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall what? Shall what? Suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. He shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Next verse. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a like fuller's soap. Next verse. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. It means that wood, hay, and stubble is not righteousness. Can't offer in righteousness. It's already told you that they are not there. They're uncircumcised and they're unclean. They cannot be in Zion. Zion is the perfect church. The church that is perfecting the love of God. That is going all the way with the purpose of God on earth. Amen. All right. And so what he's saying here is that there is a messenger that is preparing the way. And that messenger, you know, was John the Baptist as an individual, but now is a John the Baptist company that is preparing the way, you know, for God to come. That is making the valleys filled, you know, the mountains becoming a plain, the crooked places straight, basically walking on your will, mind, and emotions so that God comes into the soul. That is what he's doing. That is the progressive. That one is taking place progressively. But then there's a second messenger, the messenger of the covenant. Now, that is Christ. When he shall appear, it's going to be suddenly. Then we will know who you really are. But brethren, before then, you can bring heaven down to earth. And you can enjoy what heaven has available while we are here on earth. Amen. Because, you know, if you look at what is going on around us today, you know, it's very challenging. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 3, second verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. I promise to go back there. Behold. Okay, now, beloved, now. Everybody say now. Now. We are not going to be the sons of God now. God is thinking in the present continuous tense. Present continuous tense. And so it behoves you to think the way God is thinking. Now, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when it shall appear suddenly, because we are fully prepared, because we have listened to the other messenger, we shall be like him and we shall see him as he is. So we'll be a reflection of him. Next verse. No, you've gone back to Romans. 1 John 3:3. For he that had this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. This is why we live pure and holy lives. So that when he comes, we will not be ashamed. We will not get less than the stipulated. No, in an exam, there's a stipulated mark. There are stipulated bands of marks. There's something that you are expecting. When your mark falls way below, you are ashamed. When your friends ask you, what did you get? You hide your script. Not our portion in Jesus' name. Amen? But when you know that you got the maximum mark, you just open your script. We will not be ashamed that it's coming in Jesus' name. So that's what he's saying. He's talking about the prosperity of our soul and our body, cleansing perfection, in readiness for the imminent sudden manifestation of the glory, which Pastor has told us, you know, as he preached from the New Year service, you know, about 2025. So God is preparing us, you know, and wants to finish the work that he has begun and showcase his end time. The Bible says, no, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. In this place will I give peace. There is no peace outside of the church. And you know what's going around now. You know, the cost of living, the stress and the pressure, social, moral, you know, security, everything around us. The solution is the church. The glory is the game changer. It's not coming from anywhere. Now, we're praying for our leaders. All that, but we need to be in the background with the glory for all that they want to do to be able to work. No, just like Elijah was in the background and was telling the king of Israel, tell him the enemy is coming this way, checkmate him. Tell him coming that way, checkmate him. And they didn't go for the king, they came for Elisha. Because they knew where the power was. The power is with the church. We are looking for salvation, but salvation is looking at you. God wants the salvation to come out of Zion. The salvation of Israel is coming out of Zion. And that's why we have to awake spiritually and not be sleeping. It's possible to be waiting for something and you are the one that God is waiting for. May God have mercy on us. As he says, awake, awake. Put on your beautiful garments, the love of God. Holiness, righteousness, your reasonable service. Put it on. So that now there will be no uncircumcised and unclean. You are clean through the word that you hear. So when you receive the word that you and you act on it, there is a circumcision. It removes the foreskin of the flesh. And you become now aligned to do the will of God. It's a process. The more you hear, the more you, Bible says, when you fall upon the rock, you will be broken. When you fall upon the revelation knowledge of the word of God and say, I surrender, you will be broken. Progressively, your will becomes aligned. Then God removes the uncleanness from you. He removes the uncircumcision from you. Then your will is now aligned to do the will of God. It's a process, but it comes with exercise and practice. And that's what he's saying. And then it begins to influence even Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem, the Bible says, shake yourself from the dust. So it means Jerusalem themselves, we now their appetite begins to change because they are looking at Zion. And the power out of Zion is having an influence. Fathers and mothers have to stand in their place so that the children will naturally feed from what is coming out of you. Amen. Amen. And the church can arise and take her place. That's what God is doing. All right? Okay, so we must move from surviving, hello, and waiting for something to happen. Am I speaking to myself? To being the one that will be the agent of change. Militant obedience. Yes, militant obedience. Jacob had the birthright. It was with him. He went to the house of Laban. But Laban was dealing with him. Changed his wages 20 times. And Jacob was with the birthright, but he was waiting for deliverance. And the deliverance was already with him. God had to come to him and tell him, and what are you doing? So Jacob now decided, okay, Uncle Laban, enough is enough. Even Laban agreed when he told him, said, all this you have done for me. Laban didn't argue. Laban said, okay, don't go. Because I know that because of you, God has blessed me. Name your price. He stopped naming price. He stopped thinking about money. He now said, let's change the arrangement. We are going to renegotiate our future. Jacob renegotiated his future. Yes. He got tired of the status quo. Yes, and decided to renegotiate on the basis of he was now taking into consideration the spiritual aspects that he had not taken cognizance of before. Brethren, the greatest thing about you is the glory you are carrying. It is what you have on the inside is the real game changer about who you are. So he changed the equation and said, sir, I'm not taking money. I want to propose an arrangement. And he proposed an arrangement that seemed improbable. It was improbable, highly unlikely to Laban. This sheep bring forth ring straight is not possible. But because he was a cheat, he agreed. Well, look at let's just look at Genesis 31. I think verse 7. Genesis 31. Just very quickly so you can see. 31, yes. Say, no. Your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. Next verse. If he said thus, the speckle shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring streak shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring streaks. Verse 9. Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and has given them to me. The spiritual renegotiated the contract. Anything Laban agreed to, God will make it work for Jacob's good. Jacob was the one pulling the strings, and he was the one under. Oh, give God a clap offering. Wow. Amen. Yes, and that's how he left. By the time Laban's eye was open, the wealth had been converted, had been transferred. Creative wisdom. What did he do? He put poplar in front of them when they were giving birth. So all the weak became Laban's, all the strong became Jacob's. And Jacob knew that God was behind it. And he could do nothing about it. Laban could do nothing about it. The same Jacob left Laban and came to Esau. This time he was wiser. That the spiritual is the game changer. So he went and wrestled with the angel all night. He was doing it the way he was doing it before. But he also remember, this is not the way. This thing does not work like this. It's like giving David, the armor of Saul to carry into battle. It's not going to work. The challenges of these times require pure anointing. Not contaminated anointing. So David put it off and said, it's not going to work. Same with Jacob. Look, I need to work this thing out with God. He was alone with God. And God changed his walk. He got transformed. The transformation on the inside with the birthright already there. He turned his friend, his enemy, into his friend. And Esau that was riding furiously with 400 men rode like that. Just come and say hello. Give God a clap offering. So what I'm trying to say, brethren, is that we must be looking within, the same way Daniel too. Was led to lions then. The four Hebrew boys. You can go on and on. In fact, the four Hebrew boys, they put them into fire, but there was a greater fire that was inside them. So the outside fire only removed the things that were binding them. The things that were holding them. What the enemy meant to discomfort us and make life difficult for us is only meant to set you free from things that are holding you back and unlock your God potential and take it to the next level. God wants you, he wants you to change level. It's not that kind of level. This one is real spiritual level. Greater heights of prosperity of your soul with greater prosperity that Satan can do nothing about. That is it. When you play that card, he has no answer. Amen. All right. So we see that. All right. Same thing with Moses with the children of Israel in the Red Sea. But Moses was not like them. Here they were coming out, and they were looking at the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were behind, and they started complaining. Just like some people are complaining about Nigeria. Hello? Complaining. May God have mercy in Jesus' name. Exodus 14. You are complaining. We pray about this every morning. Amen. Exodus 14, verse 11. Give it to me from verse 11. Thank you. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? They went willingly. Now they are complaining. Next verse. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone. Look at them, ungrateful. Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should be die in the wilderness. Moses didn't get offended, though. Like Pastor Dave was preaching beautifully this morning. Love. It's very important for the solution to come through. You must not allow offense, unforgiveness, and oversensitivity. And see what they said. I'm quoting Lord Jory now. That means my language is not up to my age. Who does he think he is? Quickly correct yourself. Auto-correct. Auto-correct. Correct yourself. Don't do that. Don't be thinking like that. You are playing right into his trap. The power is not going to flow like that. Look at how Papa Moses did it. It's not they were complaining. Moses that did miracle after God through him. Miracle after miracle so that they could let you go. He never wanted to let you go. He had to lose his firstborn to let you go. Now you can open your mouth to be saying, did I not say that it was better for me to be there? Mercy, oh. Because God can just touch that mouth and for what you are saying. Remember where Nigeria is coming from. We are the only oasis of a stable democracy. In the midst of people that are changing government like they are changing toilet paper. Next verse. Next verse. And Moses said unto the people, we are going to read it together. Say, fear ye not. One more time. Say, fear ye not. It means perfect the love of God. It's perfect love that will cast out the fear. Perfect the love of God. Fear ye not. Stand still in obedience. And then what's going to happen? You will see the salvation of the Lord. Moses did not know it in detail. He was only speaking on principle based on his own relationship with God because he was walking with God. And he knew that God cannot bring us this far after all those miracles to drop us at this point. It's not possible. So he was telling them, fear ye not, because they're telling us to be afraid. And they were already afraid. In fact, they were more than afraid. They had taken off their clothes, you know, and just behaved, spiritually speaking. They were naked. You know, it was Moses that was covering them again and saying, no, don't do that. Our God is more than enough. Stand still and see this, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Next verse. The Lord shall what? Fight for you. God's going to fight for us. Correction. God is already fighting for us. Amen. And you shall hold your peace. You are here today, aren't you? More peace is on the way. Amen. You shall hold your peace. Next verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? It has nothing to do with me. You have everything in you and with you. Everything is in you and with you. It says, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go where? Where did they want to go? Back. They wanted to go back to Egypt. He said, no, there's no salvation there. You're going to go forward. Forward where? Forward into the sea. Forward into the sea. Next verse. On that moment, he got a revelation. That moment. God said, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. Is he going to divide the sea like that? It's God talking. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Had it ever been done before? No way. It was a new act, a new thing for a new situation. to demonstrate the greatness of the God that they were serving. So in one fell swoop, God was taking care of three things. One, showcase who he really is and his glory. Two, solve the problem. And three, peradventure, allow the people to see so that those that want to repent can repent and come into a deeper relationship with him. That's the purpose. Unfortunately, they saw this, they went to the Red Sea, but did it change them?
No.
God is three in one. You know that when you go to the, when you want to buy a beverage, they have this three in one. Or you just add water to it. You're not buying milk separate, no matter. Everything is there, three in one. Or the same way, God is doing three things. One, he's magnifying it. Same thing with Lazarus. Magnify his name. Two, get Lazarus from the dead. Three, the people around him believed. And if they believed already, they should believe more. If they obeyed already, they should obey more. Should improve their consecration so that they become bond slaves. And make their family a family of bond slaves, sons of Zadok. Yes. That's the whole idea. So that they and God can be one. Going around doing wonders. With love. That was the plan. Of course, you know how the children of Israel did. But God still... But the key today is what I'm saying is we go forward in faith and in love. And the word, that rod is the apostolic and prophetic word from fathers in your mouth that as you follow them, you can declare over your life. You can declare over your children. You can declare over your finances. And it will stand. Yes. You're walking in love. You're following the pattern. You will stand in your place as high priest. And you will declare it and it will stand. And when Moses did that, and did he said it and then stretched out the rod, which was just symbolic, the thing was the speaking. The speaking was what the power came through. The God just showed himself strong on their behalf and sent the wind, heated the thing from beneath, formed ice on either side. Give God a clap of offering. And took them through. And when they got to the other side, they were now singing and shouting and dancing. Amen. But it was a glorious deliverance. So we see now, why is God doing this? So the situation you are in, brethren, you have been put in that situation deliberately. Deliberately. It's not a mistake. It's not a mistake. If you could not bear it, he will not put you in it. Why? Yes, that's why. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. God doesn't allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. If you are in it, you are able to bear it. You're not able to bear it based on the physical resources you can see or the physical connections that you have. You must bring the spiritual and renegotiate the terms. You have to renegotiate the terms. And it is that renegotiation with the fact that the glory is in the background, working on the inside. You can then now stand in your place as priest, help meet and agree that this is what is going to happen. And God will cause it to work together for our good. Amen. Bible says, there are no temptation taking but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation. He needs the temptation because it is a vehicle to break some things. Undo heavy burdens, loose bands of wickedness, take away grave clothes, let the oppressed go free, break every yoke, deliberate. So he needs that to make it so that you'll be able to bear it. Bear it is talking about so that you're able to come out victorious. That's what he's talking about. So that's what he's talking about. What's the second reason why? We must choose to focus on the glory that is about to be manifest, not on the situation. Amen. All right, look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, let's read it together. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. He's talking to us. But what? That's the song the choir sang, Joy Unspeakable. But rejoice. One more time. I can't hear you at the back. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with what? Exceeding joy. Amen. Amen. That's what he's saying. Okay? Look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Thank you. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. And then now, you know, sometimes we carry weapons and we don't know the kind of weapon you are carrying. You carry incredible weapons. Multi-repeating rifle. No sophisticated guns that are not available on normal markets. Military grade. You know, there are weapons that they don't sell to the public. Military grade. You're carrying it around and you're looking and wondering, Akuma fire. Go fire. You need wisdom to operate it. You need to operate it consistently. If you don't operate consistently, the weapon will begin to jam. It's consistent. Frequency, frequency, fervency, frequency, fervency. The next, after he gave him, he said, I put my words in your mouth. Just kept it quiet like that. And it goes to the next thing, the problem. See, I have this day set thee where? Over the nations and over the kingdoms. To what? Root out, pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. What kind of weapon does all those kind of things? It's spiritual. Spiritual, it has to be. It has to be. It can build and it can destroy. It can root out and it can throw down. It can plant and it can pull down. It's your mouth. Your mouth. Your mouth. This is our mouth. When you pray in tongues, you don't know what you're doing. Satan is running helter-skelter. May God give us understanding. So we use our weapons with understanding. Yes. Look for every opportunity to pray. And when you deploy your weapons, your soul will be at rest. Your flesh will be quiet. So when God says, do this, you can hear. Don't get caught up in the activity of the day. As I speak to you, I speak to myself. Sometimes you enjoy what you are doing. Particularly when you enjoy what you are doing. You have to remember that you are an ambassador of a higher kingdom. You are not here to get involved in the mundane. We come into the mundane, operate, and we stay in the spiritual. We live there. We live there, but we come and do mundane things. So it does not appear who we are. Until the day the real you comes out, then they now see, ha! This is a God. When they saw Apostle Paul and Barnabas, he said, the gods have come down to us in the form of men. You are a small G-O-D. And you need to increase your size and efficiency. Yes. so that we can do the things that God wants us to do. This your mouth, you don't close it, and then you don't use it anyhow. You know, you have to let the life of God, you know, the Bible says, you know, that every sacrifice, you know, shall be salted. Mark chapter 4, 9 verse 49. Mark chapter 9, verse 49. For everyone shall be salted with fire. You are going through fire now. Because God wants to put salt inside. And every sacrifice that you give will be salted with salt. He's doing you a favor. Allowing you to be a partaker of Christ's suffering. Why are you complaining? You're doing like the children of Israel, looking back. The man said, go forward. We are going forward. Thank you, my sister. We are pressing in. This place that looks like there is no way, there is a way there. When they say it's not possible, it's possible. What are you talking about? We will deploy weapons like they have not seen. When they said it's not possible, O King, tell us your dream. We will tell you the interpretation. We cannot know your dream and tell you the interpretation. Tell us your dream. There is no man on earth that can do it. That's what I'm talking, talking, talking. What do you mean? You don't know what you're talking about. There is a race of God-men. And when the God-men heard, they said, let not the king be hasty. Give us 24 hours, we'll be back to you. And they went back like it was their practice. That was not their first all night, too. That was not their first all night, too. It was standard practice. Being naturally supernatural. You have to live a spiritual life in the midst of the life you are living now. So you make the sacrifice to do spiritual things. Because that day, Daniel's life depended on it. But before, it was not doing out of discipline and obedience to God. But there's a day when his life depended on it. But thank God, he had been so well trained. He just walked through it. And came out and told the man the dream, told the man the interpretation, and what they said, some people are going to be killed for, it brought them promotion. That is your God. Give him a clap of it. It's our God. So the problems that we see, they are bread for us. They are stepping stones for us. That's what God is saying. The exam you're about to face is a stepping stone for you. Yes. And God will surprise you. If you walk in love and unity, you will be amazed what God will do. Because those are your weapons. They took all of David's family, all the men. It was the love they showed to the Egyptian. These were mighty men of war. But when it mattered the most, they had been so well trained. They used spiritual way. It was the love they showed him. And the man took them right to where they wanted. And they took what they wanted. Not they lost nothing. Pursue, overtake, recover all. But you only recover all with the love of God. Hot and boiling. And the word of God in your mouth. Very important. Amen. So, what God is telling us, brethren, is that this sudden glory that is coming on the outside, that we are waiting for 2025, we need to really step up. Now, and from now, we're already in March. When did we start? We're already in March. You know, we need to step up and keep, and the more you step up in your walk with God, the more you will see on the inside. The Bible says, I'll give him a new name. That no man will know except him that has it. You that has it, you will know that levels have changed. You will know. But doesn't Pastor tell us that I thank God for what he's doing. Sometimes some things that will take some time now just once. Doesn't this Pastor preach it? Him that has it, he will know. You too, you can know. As you grow, you will know. Amen. That's what God is saying. Amen. All right. Now, when that glory, when the glory becomes manifest, it does three things. Okay. It's and thank God for the fathers. Now, what I'm telling you now, I received these thoughts, but when I now went to check, you know, the archives, I saw that pastor had preached in 2018, fire, transformation, and glory. January 2018, pastor had preached it, you know, in far more detail. You know, thank God for that. Let's give our fathers a super hand. Amen. Far more detail. Amen. So the point I'm trying to bring out is this. The sudden glory that the world is waiting for, okay, is going to accomplish three things. Okay, it will complete that gradual work of transformation you have been doing. It will complete it. Amen. Then it will demonstrate that glory externally. And that manifestation is going to be consistent from that time onward. Spectacular manifestation externally to the world. And then it will perfect the unity of the church. Look at John chapter 17, verse 22 and 23. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Next verse. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made what? Perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me, as loved them as thou hast loved me. What is the Bible saying here? It's telling us that the church will come into the unity of the knowledge. Because now, because of Aaron's rod that has budded, the controversy will be settled in the church. There will be people saying my own, another person saying my own, other one will stop. Because the glory, the people that have the glory, it will be very clear that they are the ones that have the glory. And so everybody will flock towards the glory. And everybody else will submit because of the glory. And then God will not have one house, one shepherd, David's, over the house of God. Amen. So what God is saying now is, yes, we should all, you know, grow up, and, you know, Esau's in the house should repent and become Jacob's. Esau's are the ones that they don't value spiritual things. They don't, they are really like the world. You know, they boast in their shame. When they hear instruction and they know that the instruction has been given, they do the exact opposites. That's what Esau did. He said when he heard that they told Jacob that Jacob should not marry from the people around, but I should go to the house. That is when he went and married two girls that were there. Rebellious. God is saying, repent. 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 Because if you don't, then God's going to judge the mount of Esau. He's going to judge the mount of Esau. And God doesn't want to do that. But you leave him no choice. You need to take your spiritual life serious. That's what God is saying. So how is it going to be done? Brethren, we've been taught very well. Thank God. What we really have been taught so well. It's a privilege to be in this house. And it's also a great responsibility. Unto whom much is given, much is required. So, brethren, that schematic that Pastor gave us, you know, about the daily things that we need to do. Please let me put it up. You know. But, yes, daily sequence for making more room. Making more room for Jesus is giving more time. And I've come to see that it's not giving, yes, in a way, it's giving more hours, depending on how much you have grown. God will let you know what you need to do at your level. Okay? But what I find is giving God more moments during the day. more moments during the day you are in and you are in God's presence, then you stop praying. So you are in God's presence all along, but you are in prayer, then you are out of prayer. You are in prayer, out, you in, out, in, as frequently as possible and fervently. And you cannot do that without the background of the Word of God. Because Jude 20, 21 tells us that we build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So that faith, you find that you can't pray in tongues much if the faith, if you have not fed on the Word of God. So the life of God is just not there. That life is important. I've even come to see sometimes if you are feeling drained, you need to draw some life. Stop and draw life, and you will change the course of your day. It is supernatural. You will change the course of your day, and the lines will fall in pleasant places. But it doesn't drop on right there. If you don't do it, the lines will be falling in bad places. I'm wondering how come? How come? I prayed this morning. Because it's fine detail. You know, so we need to give ourselves more. We need to give more room. And the key here is the mercy and the grace of God. Pastor Dave preached it beautifully this morning. I want to echo it. You know, abounding grace, abounding mercy is there. So there must be increasing honesty, quick frequency of accepting, not arguing, accepting. Okay, so what's the solution? Then you are ready to go. God will be ready to help. But you still argue whose fault it is. That doesn't take us past where we are. It's like people in a football team. You know, somebody made a mistake. They scored a goal. Then you go and be fighting and argue. You spoil the game. So it's not over yet. It's not over yet. And we are a team. So we ask life for him. We pray for him in tongues. We cleanse his sin, whatever he did, and we move on. And as we do so together, you know, in that there's the corporate grace that will help us to recover all. It's very important. So the honesty and the humility, the fear of God is the beginning. And we grow in it. That's why we confess those sins that we confess. And that list, I hope you know that list in the on the app is not exhaustive. If you have special, you know, the devil, he has bespoke sins. You know, that sometimes you have some sins that only you know how you end up there. Just add it personally. When I confess my sin, this particular one. And as you deal with it, it will go. Here we go. It's honesty. No, general, you get general result. Specific, you get specific result. It's honesty. So you clean with the blood. But when you are saying it, you say it with gravity. You think about it. No, we think faster than we talk. So you are thinking quick, quick. You're thinking about it quick, quick, quick. You know, complaining, murmuring. You know, quickly. You're thinking, you're thinking, you're thinking. And whenever I have mercy on me. So that when you come out of that place, it's 1 minute. But when you come out, what a minute. It's a quality minute. Come out cleansed fully and stand in God's presence with your bowels open. Very important. Okay? Then pray more for the fruit of the Spirit and love. Those prayers are very important. Prayer for humility, prayer for wisdom so we can walk in love, and then we can from that love tap into the wisdom of God in our daily affairs. Very important. These things are important. We pray frequently and fervently. You know, the instructions don't change, but the way we do them change. And you know, the more you do it and put your heart into it, you find out that, you know, the more effective that you are. You know, you just find that things are not like before. Because there is more, you are tapping into more grace that is available. Very important here is the fact that we need to honor our fathers. The Bible talks about that. Let's just quickly look at that because it's very important, brethren. The days in which we're living in now. It's very important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. They do it by example. The first thing you see is their example. And are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Next verse. And to esteem them what? Very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace amongst yourselves. Because of the work that you know that they're doing. No, Pastor Jay was sharing with us today. They carry two burdens. Yours and theirs. You also have to carry two burdens. Yours and theirs. Yes. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. So that you now become equally yoked. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Next verse. Ye also what? Helping together by what? Prayer for us. That for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. And when you do that, you begin to carry the anointing of the sons of Issachar. It's out of love, not out of, Pastor, was that scripture, servant and then apostolic or prophetic or evangelist or teacher. But his first servant, you serve in the place of intercession. Yes, that's where you serve. You serve in that place. Serve, and you increase the sphere of your service. Serve your workplace. Serve your daily life. Serve your wife, your children. You know, serve your business, your job. You know, you serve. You know, you have a function, you serve. You have to, everything is spiritual. Everything in life is spiritual. Nothing is not like this. A spiritual location is a physical location. So we just go. Did Jesus not do miracle at a wedding? He went to a wedding, just to a wedding, you know. And they now said, they have a problem. And just because the power was already there. He had already prayed it and put it there. So he just tapped into out of what was there. And what was an embarrassing situation, God used it as a beginning of miracles. Brethren, you cannot, no, preparation meets opportunity. If you don't prepare, some opportunities, they've gone. That's it. It's only in the mercy of God that they come back again. They've gone. You have to learn to take the moment by being ready. That's what God is teaching us. Amen? Okay. So, thank you. All right. So, it's very important. It's very important. All right. So, we commune. The battle prayer makes us more conformed to the image of Jesus. Amen? No, Bible says that. No, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, days of his flesh, when I offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, you know, unto him that was able to save him from death, he was heard in that he feared. No, Bible talks about in Galatians 4:19, my nature of my travail again in birth until Christ be formed. The battle prayer is key. You have to learn travail. You have to learn. And if you are doing travail your own way, change it to fulfill the scripture. Pastor does it every week now. You know, Psalm 42 verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep. It's deep. At the noise of the spout of your mouth, from the depths of your, you bring it out. So don't just length of time of how I've been coming and which church I am, I've been attending. But make sure that you fulfill scripture. You do it the way the scripture said. That's why he goes over those things. All right, so battle prayer. Communal prayer is like very important for your walk in love. My walk in love. No constant confession of sin. No once every 6 hours. At every opportunity. and in every temptation. So we see him that is invisible, under covering, and we keep responding to him. So we respond in obedience. And when, as we keep doing that, you know, frequently, you find out that, you know, you become more God-centered in your thinking. You know, more God-centered and kingdom-oriented. You know, Papa Kelly Vernon always taught us that the church is man-centered, you know, need-oriented, and entertainment-based. But if you look at it, it trickles down to each saint, how you think, live, and behave. So in our mind, God wants us to be God-centered. So even though you're looking at the problem, you're looking at it through the prism of God. So it's very important. So you that changes your perspective, you know. And then it's love-oriented, it's kingdom-oriented. Want to see his will done. So I'm not the one doing it myself. All I need to do is just make sure that I'm doing what God wants. I'm in obedience. I'm aligned with God in submission to him like a bond slave. And then whatever else situation is, God will work it out. That's how it works. So it's man and God. So people that cannot see God, but they will ascribe it to you. But you know it's not you, it's God. That's how it is, okay? All right? And then, of course, in the Word of God, we look for God. Daily Bible reading. Daily meditation on the Word. Listening to apostolic fathers regularly. Praying Pauline prayers. Everything that is here. Regularly. So that we can... Some of us, we are meant to pray more than 2 hours. It's important to say it. But ask God. Whatever level you are, find this. That's why everything around us is going. The fire is there so that the salt can enter into you and I. So take full advantage of the fire. No, before you'd have gone to many places because you had petrol. But now that you don't have petrol, you are at home. So it's the fire now. It's the fire. So use that now. Put it inside. Yes, oh. Yes. And then when God now does it, and then you now really can afford to do what you want. You, after a while, by choice, you don't do it anymore. Because you learn the value of using your time for the right thing. You're giving more room to Jesus. Amen. That's how it works. And the two of them are important. You know, and consecration to God and prayer brought Daniel into the lion's den. It's amazing. It was consecration to God and prayer that brought Daniel into the lion's den. But it was communion prayer and walk in love that took Daniel out. Communion prayer is very important too. It is important. In fact, I've come to see that everything is important in its place. You cannot do more travailing prayer in place of Bible reading. It's balanced. You have to balance it. So that means that you can't do your prayer, then you read your Bible. That means, yes, so you read your Bible. So if you read your Bible, you have to miss that much. Miss it. And get the highlights. Yeah. Get the highlights. But do the Bible part. When you do it, the emphasis and priority should be on your spiritual. Your spiritual mechanism must be tip-top shape. After that, if it's okay like that, then you can now do other physical things, you know, as you have time. It's the way it is. It's the way it is. You're looking at me as if, do you know what you're saying? I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying. And you can do it. And the environment is created like that to help you to do it. So let the fire remove the cords. And come out of it without any smell. No poverty. No illness. No shaking. You will still be here. When Nigeria turns around for good, you will be the first partaker of it. You will be. Because God doesn't forget. And we are renegotiating the deal. We are renegotiating based on the spiritual. We have not put emphasis on it because men don't see it. But you must know who you are. Even if they don't know who you are, you must know who you are. And stay where God wants us to stay. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Let's talk to God. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the covering of our fathers. Thank you for your help. So, you have step up. Balance. I hear that word, balance. It must be balanced. Don't have 1, 2, 3, 4 days of not doing one of these things. It must be balanced because each one is working with the other. We're so privileged. They're working together. Let the rain of your presence fall on me every day that I live, with every breath I breathe. Let the rain of your presence fall on me. Everywhere that I go, Lord, let your presence flow, rain on me. Love divine, joy unspeakable. Your presence, in your presence, love divine, joy unspeakable. Let the rain of your presence fall on me
every day
that I leave, with every breath I breathe. Lord, let the rain of your presence fall on me everywhere that I go. Lord, let your presence flow, rain on me. Let's raise up that hand unto the Lord and put that left hand on your heart. Our hearts at rest, meekness and lowliness of heart, so you will find rest unto your soul. Joy unspeakable, overflowing to our soul and into our flesh. Let's pray. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And has come to me today showing me that your love, you want your love, divine, to overflow into my soul, my will, my mind, my emotions, and into my physical body, and to occupy every aspect of my mind, my will, my emotions, and my body all through the day. Have mercy on me. Help me to exercise honesty and humility in a greater dimension, with greater consistency, tapping into the grace and the mercy of God to pray fervently and consistently, so the fire of the power of the Holy Spirit will go into my soul and burn up all the sin nature, cleanse out all the sin nature, and occupy with the divine nature, so that I will be an embodiment of love and righteousness. So your blessings, divine, according to your riches in glory, will come into my life and my circumstances. So in famine land, I will sow and reap 100-fold, like Isaac. Help me, Lord, to be faithful. Strengthen my weak areas so I will be balanced, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Brethren, now reach out to God for whatever need that you have. Healing, every need you have, just reach out to Him and we'll pray. He confirms His words with signs and wonders as a token. Heavenly Father, thank you for all those who are here, who are reaching out to you for a particular need at this time. Thank you, Father, because the Bible tells us that, Lord, your tender mercies are over all your works, Lord, and it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And so, Father, Lord God, as they reach out to you at this time, Lord, we declare, let every need be met in the name of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, we send the word of healing into their souls and bodies to effect a healing and a cure in the name of Jesus. Thank you for needs that are met supernaturally, a token of your love and encouragement, so that, Father, Lord, they will know that of a truth they have met with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
In your presence. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the reign of your word here today, bringing life and light, bringing understanding, causing us to see more clearly, to walk with you more nearly, to follow after you more closely. We thank you so much for the covering of our fathers, for causing us to experience this reign, Lord God, reign of your word, the latter reign that will come to has come to perfect your church. We're deeply grateful. We thank you for all you've done today. So under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, shepherd and bishop of our souls, under the covering of the fathers of the house, come to bless him. May the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord our God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. And so we are above only and not beneath. So we prosper in everything we set our hands on to do. And we're at least 10 times better than our peers, by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. And so we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies all of us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, the perfection and the fullness of Christ, and the manifestation of the glory of the Spirit without measure, in Jesus' name. And so the Lord anoints us afresh with the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name. And share the grace, with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Lord Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us all, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell you, number six, it is well with you and all that pertains unto you, and there will be no bones broken. God bless you.